Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
See Jalen Warren in his first game action. Just what did you like about him, and is he ready for an expanded role if he has to take one?
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin, you know. And that's capable of happening for a young guy.
Much more tactful way than that term or something like it has been used on this program.
Crap the bed, crap down your leg, you know. We've used it all, really, when it comes to that. I mean, we've done it all.
Thank you for the mild edit, because once again, we are live on Sky Sports NFL, and we are probably only live there for as long as we can behave. And
okay. Oh, behave.
2 days of behaving. We're also on Peacock, I think. Sirius XM 85 podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And, but we are on Sky. If nothing else, we are live. I had a paper route when I was growing up. I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I liked the NFL. I never knew what my life was going to become. There was never a dartboard that would have been big enough to have on it the possibility of having a live show for 2 hours a day that was popular and aired live in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
Where the hell does that ever even come from? How does that even, it's just weird. It's just weird. And
it is.
I continue to get emails from the folks over there. They are so happy that we're on live. And now there's even more pressure to go over there for one of the UK games. They still don't quite understand that we have other work to do on a Sunday.
Yeah, right.
They and don't know if about NBC night, were to actually have a London game, it would be like, what, a 1 a.m. local time start? So, which is fine with me. I would go. I would go if we had a Sunday night game, but they're not going to kick off a game locally, I assume, at Wembley Stadium or Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at 1 a.m. or 1:20 or whatever
not.
It would be.
No,
so,
no.
So it's just, it can't happen. It's something we have to do in the off season. And now that the world is getting back to normal as it's ever going to be,
wait,
I think, is
yeah.
all we can hope for,
right.
Then, you know, we go in the off season. I still got to get a passport.
So
that whole plan got put on hold in early 2020 for some reason.
You don't have a passport? You don't have one? That's a shame. All right, so
how hard is it to get one?
Well, it's not that bad. I mean, I don't know. Probably in West Virginia, it's a lot easier than around here. I know. It's not bad at either place. I've had to do it in New York City once, where that was a pain in the butt. But I think that was because I needed to have it expedited and rushed for a trip. But here's what I ask you to do. So you're willing to get on a plane to go to London. You're willing to do that. All right.
Yes.
All right. Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little you never know with you. And then I'm a little scared, too. Like, the last few times you got on a plane, like, you crapped on those cities and said you're never coming back. So, I mean, maybe London doesn't want you. You went to L.A. You're
that
like, this place is horrible. I'm out of here. No, I know.
That has nothing to do with the plane. The plane gets me out of there.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, yes, yes. But, I mean, London, you know, the great people of the U.K., they might not want you there. You might go, and then you find your flaws, and you go, you know what? I've had it with London. I won't be back.
I have a feeling I'll like London. I think I'm afraid to go.
Because you might like it?
Because I may not leave.
And one day you might sound like you're from London.
Apply for citizenship.
Yeah.
Apply for citizenship. Now that may be a tougher task to get them to actually take one or both of us permanently, but I have a feeling that we would very much like it there. I think that, yeah, it's not an accident. It's not a quirk. The other show that was on live on Sky Sports NFL, one reader described it to me as it's too U.S. for the U.K. And I kind of like that because we're not. We're maybe too U.K. for the U.S. But
right.
I like the fact that they just – I think that what it comes down to is there are plenty of folks there who appreciate a no BS, no fluff, no pom-poms, no – because I think they're very discerning, and they see through that crap, and they appreciate when you just tell it like it is, like Howard Cosell used to say.
Yeah, right. No, I hear that. You know, they might be a little more evolved when that conversation comes around. You know, they've been doing this, you know, a lot longer than we have over here. So, yeah, I always bow to them a little bit in some of that category, that area. I've never been, so I'm still like, I just want to go over there and check it out. And, of course, it's like the hot spot of the world right now just because of, you know, the death of the queen and long live the king, Charles III, which is kind of cool. I'm learning a lot of stuff about that the last few days, actually. That's quite interesting,
too. I'm amazed that you know his name is Charles. And I'm even more amazed that you know he's the third.
Well, I do. I do. You know, despite popular belief, I can read, and I do like stuff like that. I like history, so I'm always into that. My mom was always a, you know, lover of the royal family, and then, you know, even Princess Diana. So it was always on my radar screen. I've always paid attention to it because of Dirty Diana. And, you know, that's that. So I always like the movie, The Queen, the shows, The Crown, right?
He's talking about his mother, not the princess, folks.
yeah, not Dirty Diana the princess. No, this is Dirty Diana, my mother, right? Dirty Diana Sims. So, yeah, it's always been there. It's a cool transition to see happening. I was shocked at how much money and land they own. Did you see all that stuff? That's kind of crazy. Like, I knew they were the king and, you know, they were the royal family.
You ever hear the phrase, it's good to be the king?
Well,
that's one of the reasons.
I guess so. I didn't realize there was as much personal wealth there, I guess, as I expected.
Now, if we go,
yeah.
If we go, is there a way we get to meet the king? Do you think?
Wow, asking
the
a lot.
Folks,
you're asking
let me
lot.
Tell you, hang on. The folks there moved heaven and earth to get us live. I'm learning more and more that it was like a groundswell. It was relentless. It was just one of those things where, you know, your kid keeps asking you, can we go, can we go, can we go? And eventually you just agree to get him to shut the hell up. I think that that's one of the reasons why we're live. This nucleus of people who are fanatical about this show for some strange reason continued to pester Sky Sports to put us on live. So if we can mobilize those same people toward Buckingham Palace, not in a violent way, we're not talking about anything that may or may not have happened in a January of any recent year. We're just talking about emails. Let's meet the king. I wouldn't. I'd go.
I'd go. I don't feel like King Charles is a you know, football, an NFL football watcher. I feel like he's more traditional. I wonder if he's into it, you know, like some of our loyal
somebody
fans
in that family eventually will be. Maybe the kid.
Yeah.
Maybe the kid that was doing this at the parade earlier this year. Maybe we can get him. Is it Archie?
I know.
Hey, Archie.
Yeah.
Lewis. Is there an Archie?
I don't think there is.
Is there an Archie somewhere?
Oh, there's his Archie.
Okay.
There you go. Good
Lewis.
For you.
Okay. Lewis. You can watch soccer or football as you call it. But we'll get Lewis. And then at some point, well, I'll be dead by then, so never mind.
Get him hooked.
If Lewis is ever the king, that's yeah.
Yeah, you're
all right. Anyway,
yeah.
we've already pissed
good
away.
Good talk.
Sorry.
Good talk.
London, the first several minutes of the show. Speaking of pissing things away, Nathaniel Hackett, the Broncos coach. Now, I was very relieved and encouraged yesterday when I just heard the basic news.
Right. Me too.
He did what we urged him to do yesterday.
Right.
I have a feeling, though, Christopher, as we listen to the explanation,
right,
we may not feel as good as maybe we initially did when we learned that Nathaniel Hackett had done what we said he should do, acknowledge that he made a mistake at the end of the game on Monday night. Have a listen to Nathaniel Hackett talking to reporters the day after the 17-16 loss in Seattle.
Well, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were 3rd and 15, I think, 3rd and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it, to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on 4th down, and then you hit the mark. You know, the mark that we had all set before we started. We said 46 yards. 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision if we wanted to give it to, you know, Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but, hey, that's part of it. You know, it's a combination of a lot of people, and it, in the end, it lies on me. I made that decision, and that was our plan. That's what we said. That's the yard we had to get to. We all knew it. That's what we said in the huddle before we did it, and we got there. We made that decision. I mean, every game we want to win. Every game for us, we go into the mentality that we want to win it. We think we can win, and we're going to do everything we can, and that's just how the game goes, you know. That's part of being in this seat, being in this profession, is that this stuff's going to happen at all times, and it's been happening, you know, my whole career, even all the way back when my dad was coaching, and you're prepared for that. You understand that. And, I mean, hey, you just got to keep grinding. That's the only thing I know how to do, is to keep putting my head down, keep working, making sure these guys believe and understand the things that we need to correct to be able to get better so we can win some football games.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, all right, thanks. Here's the reality, Chris. His comment that, looking back on it, we definitely should have gone for it, was premised on the idea that we missed the field goal, so absolutely we should have gone for it. And then he doubles down on this idea that we had a plan to get to the 46. We talked about that yesterday. 46 left hash, 46 left hash. That's the problem here. The process is the problem. Why in the hell did they decide that the 46 was the number that they needed to get to? That's where the flaw is.
100.
The 46 wasn't the number. That's why do you think 46 is the number? 46 is the number if it's Hail Mary or kick a field goal.
Right.
46 isn't the number if there's a minute left in the game and you have 3 timeouts and you got 4th and 5. That's not the number. That's the flaw here, and he still doesn't see it. I'm very concerned about this.
Well, it's you know, NFL coaches, as we've talked about before, there's the, you know, military aspect of it all. Plan, 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 plan. This is what we do, blah, blah, blah. Also, they're some of the most stubborn people in our planet. I mean, there's just no other way around it. I've been around these people for my whole life. They're stubborn. They are. They don't want to be told by people like us or people at the press conference asking questions. But like Mike, I mean, yeah, duh, you hit it right on the head there. That's the plan is the flaw. That's where it all went wrong. Hey, that's great that we said the 46 was the spot to get to kick the field goal and all that. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's awesome. But the real question is, why is the 46 the plan? Why was the 46 the spot? Because what, he made one field goal in pregame, or he showed he can get it there? Like, to me, it would
or be, he told you,
or
he told
that's
you,
exactly,
he can make it.
Right.
Why are you listening to him?
So it has to be more on, wait, where are you comfortable to go 4 out of 5 from? Where are you comfortable to have a very high percentage, even though we're kind of still far away? Where's that line of demarcation? That is more of the proper thought process there. I don't think Bill Belichick ever in his history was like, well, my guy once made it from 65, so if we get to the 47, we're good. I saw him do it once, and we're good. I think he kind of went, you know, let me get to a spot where I've seen my kicker go 4 for 5 or 5 for 5 and know that he can be kind of all over the mark from 58 yards, 57 yards, 55 yards. So, you know, to echo your point and belabor this, yeah, that's the problem, is the flaw, the process, the pregame process, whatever you want to say, it just doesn't add up there, and that doesn't make sense to me or any of us.
And just you mentioned the stubbornness. That was our plan. That was our plan. Plans change. That's the beauty of plans. You're not locked in. And I feel like some coaches, and this is the Brandon Staley flaw, go for it on fourth down. Go for it, go for it, go for it. That's our plan, that's our plan, that's our plan. It's almost like, I got enough to worry about. I don't want to have to worry about revisiting my plans. I just need stuff that I know I can put in a box over here. I got my plan. I got this plan. I got that plan. All right, now we just let it all go happen. You have to be actively involved in the management of every moment of the game, and you have to be willing to change your plan. And this idea that I trusted the kicker, well, I have a feeling if you would have asked Russell Wilson, do you think you can make it on 4th and 5? Do we have a got-to-have-it play that we can use here? As you said yesterday, against this defense, what do you think they're going to do? You know that. I have a feeling you know this defense.
Right. And
this
there has to be a
idea.
Plan for that, too.
Different coordinator and different personnel. But you know, what do you? You know, Russell would have said, yeah, I think we can convert 4th and 5. Of course he would have. These guys are all premised on confidence that borders on and crosses over into delusion.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus is going to say, yeah, I can make a 64-yard field goal. Russell Wilson is going to say, yeah, I convert on 4th and 5. Any of the receivers will say, yeah, I can catch the ball if you throw it to me. Any of the linemen will say, yeah, I can make the block. Why is a coach relying upon any of that? And he needs to rely on his own assessment of the situation. And I am... It's funny because I was very relieved yesterday for Nathaniel Hackett, and now I'm alarmed again because I feel like fundamentally he doesn't get it. And if he doesn't get it now, the Walmart people who own the team are going to see it, and they're going to be done with him after 1 year if he doesn't figure out what's wrong with what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hope he bounces back, definitely. You know, I do. I hope he adjusts that plan to a degree and figures out a new formula in the pregame process. Yeah, 100%. You know, it's as we talked about yesterday, it's just a shame that it's, I know they lost, but it's all been about this right now. And, you know, I had the same feeling as you. When I first saw the news yesterday, I went, oh, good. I'm glad he admitted it. And, you know, now everyone.
This is good.
Now everyone will just put it away, and it won't be the story for the rest of the week. But he didn't really put it away, as you discussed. He did not. He did not. He kind of, you know, doubled down a little bit and had some ifs and buts and candies and whats and all that kind of crap. But the other thing, too, is that it's just disappointing because I root for Nathaniel Hackett. His dad was my quarterback coach. I'm a believer in them. His dad, my quarterback coach, is my favorite coach ever. Nathaniel is a smart football guy. I mean, again, I know, you know, I hear the haters out there. He had the number 6 offense in football with Blake Bortles as his quarterback in Jacksonville. He knows how to run offenses a little bit, if that's the case, okay? So that's where – and then, again, where I'm just disappointed for a guy that I know is just that – man, there were so many good things to be happy about in that game, even if they lost, even if it didn't work out. Okay, damn, we got a little unlucky and fumbled at the 1, and we can clean those things up. But like we said yesterday, it's the best the offense has looked since 2014. It's the best the, you know, the quarterback has looked since Peyton Manning was there and, you know, those years. So that's where you just go, oh, man, all the good work and the good vibes and the things we had to feel confident about. We talked about the second half adjustments for the defense. It all goes, you know, to the side because this is just the leading story for their organization right now.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Greg Penn, the CEO of the Broncos and the chairman of Walmart, and his father-in-law, Rob Walton, the former chairman of Walmart. Titans of industry. I've been using that phrase, and they are. And they're not going to be thrilled by this idea that you come up with this plan that you refuse to change, because they didn't help keep that company and grow that company and build that company. Whatever you think of Walmart, it's one of the most successful companies in the history of world business. I have a feeling they didn't get there by coming up with plans and refusing to change their plans. Opportunities arise, you change your plans. Complications arise, you change your plans. You have to always be willing to adjust on the fly and come up with a new plan. So
he'll adjust. Again, I have faith that he'll adjust and do this. But yes, he's being a little stubborn about, you know, just dealing with this right here. And like I said, I think there's a lot of coaches like this. But this is a smart guy that I would think hopefully adjusts from here on out, and then is hopefully will not be a story as we go forward.
Making it even more of a story is the idea that the ball was taken out of the hands of quarterback Russell Wilson, who wanted to go to a place where he could be the straw that stirs the drink. That didn't work in Seattle any longer. And the victors on Monday night, Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll. Carroll had an opportunity to go on radio yesterday, 710 ESPN in Seattle, and he was asked on whether or not the win over his former starting quarterback was validating in any way. Here's what Pete Carroll had to say.
I didn't need the validation. I just wanted it. I just wanted to win. You know, I wanted to win for all of the reasons that come along with this one. Maybe as much as anything is representing the guys that have played before. It meant a lot to those guys. And I was so thrilled to be able to hug those guys up and see them and look them in the eye. Why did it mean so much to them? Yeah, you figure that out. But it was really meaningful, and they really wanted it. And I knew we were playing for a lot more than just the regular stuff, and this night they realized what, you know, there was a big opportunity and a big statement to be made. You know, the game isn't about an individual player here or there. It's about team. This is the ultimate team sport, and it's been stated so many times before. It takes everybody, and sometimes when so much focus goes, you know, it just rubbed guys wrong, I guess, or whatever. But I'm thrilled that we won that game. It was significant for a lot of reasons beyond just it's the first game of the year and all that. But the fact that it was Monday night, oh hell, man, it couldn't be better, you know. So just really rewarding, and on we go.
Whoa! Various shots fired.
Layers
Woo,
and levels,
baby.
Wow.
Woo! That sounded better than it read. Actually, that was awesome.
And look, here's what Pete Carroll was getting at for those of us who have been following the Seahawks turn for the last decade. From the moment Russell Wilson walked through the door as a third round rookie in 2012 and earned the starting job because he was just better in training camp and preseason than Matt Flynn, the guy they had given $10 million guaranteed to, back when $10 million was a lot of guaranteed money for a free agent quarterback. There was resentment from Russell Wilson from the get-go. They didn't like Russell Wilson. The players on that team did not like him. He was management. This is what's ironic about this.
Yeah.
And I think ironic is the proper usage in this case, although, once again, I freely admit that I never know. Pete Carroll benefited from Russell Wilson, company man. And they supported Russell Wilson, company man. And eventually, they weeded out all the guys that didn't like Russell Wilson, that would make fun of Go Hawks behind his back and or to his face with a high-pitched voice. The guys in the locker room, the Richard Shermans, the Marshawn Lynches. Remember the story of Richard Sherman picking him off in practice and yelling, "You effing suck," at him as he ran the interception in for a touchdown during practice. There were a lot of guys that were on that team that didn't like him. And now that he's gone, and at some level forced his way out, Pete's throwing his arms back around the guys that he once didn't want there because they undermined Russell Wilson. So now the company man's left the company, and Pete's buddies again with all the guys that didn't like him.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. It is. That's where, you know, and even that handshake I thought said a lot too. That was, like, very quick. I didn't even feel like Pete Carroll really made much eye contact with him. You know, I noticed that when watching the game, and even the picture we showed before, it just seemed like it was.
Well, look at the difference. Look at him and Gino.
Exactly.
Look at
Like Pete didn't. Pete didn't want to have a love affair and talk about it. I'm sure Pete's fed up with Russell Wilson. I mean, let's keep it real. I mean, yeah, he's a handful. He's corporate that way. I mean, he is. He's not necessarily. You know,
We reacted. Yeah. I thought he went back over to him again. I'm sorry.
No, I love you so much. Let me hug you one more time. but it is funny the fact that you're right. He was anointed, you know, the QB there, but you know, started to get too much credit for everything he was doing, and then of course they were a team that was not into that really. They weren't. We're gonna run the ball and the Legion of Boom and be physical and be about the 12s, and you know, unfortunately for the sport in the NFL right now in our country, the quarterback does get too much credit. We discuss this all the time. I know it's a quarterback league, but we sometimes act like, you know, there was nobody else on the field except the quarterback. And that is what makes locker rooms resent, you know, that guy at times. And especially if they don't handle themselves the right way. And that's where, you know, Russell's a great leader and all of that. But at the same time, hey, it's a weekend off the week before in the NFL. You know, he's right on a private plane and at the U.S. Open. I don't think he's, like, hanging out with the guys. He might throw footballs with them and do all that. But from what I've heard, yeah, that's where he's a little different maybe than some of your other franchise quarterbacks. I think Mahomes is hanging with Travis Kelce and, you know, some of the receivers, and he's drinking a beer and hanging out, and let's watch a game, and hey, let's get on a plane and go watch this game. You know, Josh Allen the same way. You know, Brady has a great way about him that way. You know, I think Russell Wilson was never mean or disrespectful, but just the things I think we both heard is where he was a little bit on his own, and he just approaches it like a business, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not necessarily going to endear yourself to the locker room.
And when the coach bent over backwards all those years to support you and ultimately to choose you over them.
Yeah.
And right. You force your way out I think it was mutual. Every time that anyone says something was mutual, I assume that it's baloney. In this case, I really do think it was.
Yeah, I think
mutual.
They had enough.
I think both sides needed to move on, wanted to move on. It just wasn't working anymore. And that's what makes Pete Carroll, I think, validated, because he thought he could win without having a quarterback be the focal point of the team. I can win with my system. I don't have to make my offense run through Russell Wilson. We don't have to make Russell Wilson into Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, even though they wanted him in 2018, or Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson, where we start with the quarterback and we design the offense around him. We can do it our way. We can do it by paying our starting quarterback a lot less money, having more money for other players, and not creating this monster where because there wasn't much the Seahawks did to push back against the idea that Russell Wilson was the centerpiece of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this was all about winning the game, not just so you have bragging rights for 4 years or maybe 2 years over Russell Wilson, depending upon how the schedule falls out for the 17th game. This was about proving that your way works and can be successful without Russell Wilson. And the first argument, the first exhibit, we beat Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, as we discussed a little yesterday, we know that they wanted to go the rookie quarterback route, rookie contract, build the team route a lot. But it is hard. That's where the quarterback has great power, you know, in the NFL right now, because the fan base rallies around it. And the fan base goes, wait, we're winning. And ever since he became the quarterback, we win. So it must be because of him. And that's where it happened. And then, you know, it looks like, you know, the team finally starts to favor the quarterback, right? Well, we'll keep with you. Well, when in reality it is, no, defensive players like Richard Sherman can't play for 15 years. You know, their speed falls off after year 7 and 8, and it's hard to hang around for those defensive studs, Michael Bennett's of the world, who was the ultimate F the play up, just beast guy. So then it's, oh, wait, well, we've had him for 5, 6, 7 years, had the plays declining. Quarterback, 5, 6, 7 years, they're still the start of their prime right now. So that's where the organization then has to side. It looks like they have to side with the quarterback, even though they don't want to. But, yeah, I think you're totally right about Pete Carroll, the system. And quick story with Pete Carroll, just to back up your point about his way. UFC, when he was there, it was the same thing there. I know a lot of people, ex-coaches, right? Matt Leinart was picked as the quarterback over Matt Castle, not because he was better than Matt Castle, actually for like the opposite reason. You know, I have always been told that basically Norm Chow, the offensive coordinator then, and Pete Carroll basically were like, no, Matt Leinart, I think, will just listen to us more because his arm's not as big as Matt Castle, so we can kind of just manage him and trust him and win, back to your point, with our system. And that was something I was always told there, you know, out of USC. So he's a believer in that. He is not all about the quarterback. You know, he's old school 80s, 90s type coach where, hey, it's Phil Simms and the Giants. We're going to run and play defense. And on third and eight, Phil will throw a rifle. Or Troy Aikman and the Cowboys. We're going to run. We're going to play defense. On third and eight, I'll throw to Michael Irvin. That's the way they kind of believe. That's the way that generation believes in a lot of ways. Bill Belichick wasn't much different either, but he adjusted. So I think your point is kind of spot on. Sorry to belabor the point there.
I also wonder how much Paul Allen was the tiebreaker between whatever tension was in the organization about whether to pay and keep Russell Wilson or move on from him. Because really, this all started and came to a boil after he passed. I just wonder if through most of the decade, while he was alive, he was urging Pete Carroll to keep Russell Wilson around and keep Russell Wilson happy. And maybe that's kind of an unspoken dynamic to all of this, that Pete Carroll's had the freedom in recent years and finally moved forward past Russell Wilson. And look, you look at the moment, not just taking the ball out of his hands on fourth and five, which had to make Pete smile, but also
seriously,
the biggest negative of the Pete Carroll Russell Wilson marriage was the decision to throw and not run on fourth and goal, or not fourth and goal, but in near the goal line,
right,
in Super Bowl 49.
I think it was 49. Second or third, right? Yeah.
It was, yeah. But it was, hey, give the ball to Marshawn Lynch and let him score.
Yeah.
So what did they do twice on Monday night? They took the ball out of Russell's hands and dialed up a run, and there was a fumble that was recovered by the Seahawks, which was a reminder, we're not going to automatically win that game if we give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. He could have fumbled,
no,
too.
No, I know. You're right.
So
you never
I think
know.
That there are various layers and levels where Pete Carroll can feel very good about that. The ultimate 71st birthday present for him,
but like
3 days early.
Very tactical in bringing up the old players and saying that. And, hey, you figure it out. That was definitely intended for him to get that out there and let everybody know. But again, a little bit more that – you know, yeah, Russell was a pain in the ass, period. I think that's the way they view it.
The Chargers and Chiefs are the first teams this year to figure out how to turn it around after a Sunday to a Thursday, the first short week game of the year, tomorrow night, exclusively on Amazon Prime Video, unless you happen to live in the markets that are televising the game, and I know it's going to happen. The Abbott and Costello routine with my father-in-law is going to happen tomorrow afternoon.
Who's on
first? What channel is the game on tonight? Exactly. What channel is the game on tonight? And it's going to end in just come over and we'll watch it here. But a huge change for the NFL, but not a change for the teams that have to get ready and play. And injuries can become even more of an issue when you have to turn it around. Here's Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach, on a guy who didn't play in week one because of a prior ankle problem. That's cornerback J.C. Jackson, and a guy who got injured in week one, receiver Keenan Allen, whether or not he'll be ready to go on Thursday night.
J.C., he's improving. Put him through a workout today and see how he feels. And then tomorrow at the jog through, be able to learn a little bit more. But, I think he's headed in the right direction. But I think there's still a lot to be decided before game time on Thursday night. Keenan, is going to be a guy that is going to take some time, I think, with his hamstring. So I don't think... it's looking great for this week, but you never know. I wouldn't put anything past Keenan, so we're not ruling him out, but a different situation than JC.
Yeah, they're going to rule him out today. You can't you can't just say, well, you know, the guy's a hell of a competitor. His hamstring is going to magically heal in 3 days. No. Hamstring injury needs time yeah. and rest, and even more than you think. When you think it's fine, it's still not fine, because when you go out there and run at full game speed, you put even more on it, and you really test whether or not that hamstring is healed. So I don't think we're going to see Keenan Allen. And frankly, they probably need J.C. Jackson more for the Chiefs. You need your best cover corners out there to cover the guy who not that it matters, because Patrick Mahomes is now going to go to read two, read three, read four, but you need to have your best defensive backs available to deal with that onslaught they're going to be facing from the Chiefs.
100%. That's two unfortunate injuries. I mean, both are really important, because also, you know, you talk about, like, hey, you got to keep pace with the Chiefs. I don't care who you got on defense. They're going to score some points, and you want to make some plays, and Keenan Allen's special. I mean, he's really, really awesome football player. He really is. Probably doesn't get the credit he deserves at times. So that does stink that they won't have him. And, I mean, he got off to such a great start in the football game. And, you know, what was it, two big catches, and all of a sudden he was hurt. This was the first one, and then I think this was just a few plays later, if not like the next play. Here he is, he's going, and this is where he hurts his hamstring. And that was it, I think. It might have been maybe another play after this. But I'm with you in the fact that, you know, J.C. Jackson is the one I look at to be, like, the most important. The Chiefs' offense, they got a lot of people that they can throw the football to. I don't think you're going to just be able to depend on Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa getting pressure all game long. Not against this offensive line. They're good. And Andy Reid's smart and how to slow those guys down and has a few tricks that way as well. So they need J.C. Jackson for those moments they want to match up and play some man-to-man. And I think, you know, of course, J.C. Jackson's awesome in zone coverage. And Brandon Staley's an awesome zone coverage coach as well. The Chargers, watching that game on film yesterday, Mike, they got a nice look about their football team across the board. I mean, when their offense and defense walk on the field, you go, ooh, they look the part. They really do. And then their secondary with a J.C. Jackson and the Samuel kid, and then Bryce Callahan at the nickelback, and Derwin James at safety, and Adderley at the other safety, you go, whoa, this is a real deal secondary. So this is going to be their first big test with this team, these pieces that fit Brandon Staley's scheme, and we'll see if they can mess with these Kansas City Chiefs, who are the king of the AFC West.
You know, there was a certain high-profile sports commentator who suggested going into the weekend that the Chargers would score the most points in week one of any team in the AFC West, but they would lose to the Raiders, which somewhat internally inconsistent. I mention that because I picked the Chargers to win over the Raiders, but I've picked the Raiders to finish higher in the division because I don't trust the Chargers, because it's always something. Remember I said that, the old Rosanna Dandelion, right. It's always something. And we're already dealing with the injuries. Hamstring injury, I can't sit here and say it's 100% preventable, but it's one of those soft tissue things that at some point there's a breadcrumb trail back to nutrition, flexibility, training, everything that is done to get guys ready to play and to keep them on the field. And again, I'm not saying you can avoid all hamstring injuries, but it's not the result of an awkward tackle. It's not the result of, you know, your foot getting stuck in the ground. It's a strain to a muscle that can be, in many cases, avoided. And I just wonder about the infrastructure in that organization as it relates to keeping their guys healthy, because every year it happens. And you're right. You bring out your best guys fully healthy, damn, you got a hell of a team. But you got to keep them healthy for 17 games. That's the challenge for the Chargers.
It is. It's the challenge. There does seem something there. I don't disagree with you. But I do think it's week one, when you don't play in the preseason, stars don't play in the preseason right now. That's another issue too, because it's just, you know, you haven't really stepped on the gas pedal like to the floor yet. And I think that's what gets guys too, you know, even in practice, even when they go, hey, it's live and all that, you know, the emotions, the adrenaline isn't going quite the same to where you're straining to run like you are, the intensity of the stadium and the crowd and everything like that on a Sunday afternoon. So that always catches people too. I think that's where it gets it. But yeah, it's something that every organization has to continually evaluate, and we'll see as the year goes on. If it continues to happen, you start to go, yeah, there's something going on there that's not right, certainly. And Mike, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there like curveball. It just, I don't know, in a lot of ways, it does almost seem unfair to NFL players to just, hey, it's week two, and, you know, we're just getting used to the NFL season. Hey, it's 4 days later. You got to play a game. Hey, we're all about player safety, player safety, player safety. And you played a game, and it was the first time you played a game, and it was crazy. And now we got a 4 days later, you got to play again. And it's just, it's a lot to ask of guys. It is early on in the season. There's a part of me that goes, I don't want to see this matchup on a Thursday. Or especially this early on in the year before teams have got going, because I'm not sure they're at their best and hitting on all cylinders and everything like that. I don't know. It's just food for thought that I throw out there that I think about sometimes.
To whom it may concern, at 345 Park Avenue, that was Chris Sims, not Mike Florio. That was Chris operating on his own volition with no influence. Directly.
Nope.
Directly,
yep. Nope. Nothing from you. Right. But I think you maybe probably agree to a degree there. You know. I don't know.
Well, I.
But I do want the Thursday game.
But I accept. I several years ago I processed the whole anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance, because we aren't getting the teams at their best, and they've done the studies, the injury rate is no greater on Thursday than it is on Sunday. That's irrelevant to the question of whether the guys who got injured on Sunday are going to be ready to play on Thursday. That's the point. You want your best guys ready to go. You want your players healthy and able to go, and especially early in the season. I agree with you, Chris. If we're going to de-emphasize the preseason, which makes September essentially the preseason, it's a lot to turn it around.
It's a lot.
From Sunday
to
Thursday night. And hey, it's good that we don't have Steelers-Browns this week. We have Steelers-Browns next week, I believe, on Thursday night, because the Steelers went 70 minutes on Sunday.
Right.
And would have to turn it around on Thursday night. So whatever you say, you could put it eloquently, like you did, for a change, or you could call Thursday night football a poop fest, like Richard Sherman, who ironically is now getting paid from the Thursday night football trough. I hadn't thought about that. Richard Sherman has a job with Amazon as part of the pregame, halftime, and postgame coverage, and he willingly took it, even though, I need to write about this today, Richard Sherman, or tomorrow, called Thursday night football in 2016, 2017 a poop fest. And that's been the tension. That's been the pushback. But it doesn't matter, Chris. It doesn't matter because it's here to stay. Because it is yet another, you know, what was the old Beverly Hillbillies? Jed was out in the backyard and he was shooting up some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude.
Yeah,
the NFL just keeps shooting around in the backyard, and they got bubbling crude coming up everywhere. They do this Thursday night thing, and it's a gold mine. It is.
It is.
So it's not going anywhere.
I know.
It's not going anywhere.
I can't wait. I'm not going to lie. I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sitting in the barn, and it's back to retox time, and it's one of my favorite nights of the week.
Just don't fall off the beanbag chair. As two guys who love to be able to watch one game at a time, I want Tuesday night. I want Wednesday night. Work it out. Figure it out. Let's have a primetime game every night of the week. Wouldn't that be something if we had a game to watch and enjoy every night instead of the cluster of them that have? Yes. So selfishly, we want it. And health and safety, there's a certain amount of lip service.
Yeah, it is.
They're going to gloss over it, and they're going to do what they're going to do. Yeah. We accept that they're going to do what they're going to do. All right, I said all that other stuff, 345 Park Avenue. Here's Patrick Mahomes saying some things about a left wrist injury that happened on Sunday, but that apparently will not keep him from performing at 100% capacity on Thursday night.
Yeah, it got a little sore yesterday, but then today it felt a lot better. So we kind of got in the training room, got a little work on it. Haven't actually had any time today to even get any work on it, but it's already felt a lot better. So I'm sure I'll be good to go this week.
Do you feel like it's been pretty extensive, what you've had to do with it? Or
not necessarily. I mean, just normal stuff. Just kind of take care of it, kind of just keep some stuff on it. But other than that, I mean, it feels great today. So hopefully it keeps getting better like this, and I'll be good to go on Thursday.
Yeah, hopefully he will be. Yes, for those of us who are looking forward to watching that game on Thursday night, yeah, kind of important that Patrick Mahomes is out there playing. But hey, that's quarterback. It's the Dak Prescott reality. The body part that throws the football is moving in the direction of the guys trying to hit the quarterback, and there will be some collisions, there will be some contact, and there potentially will be some injuries. But for now, it looks like Patrick Mahomes is going to be fine. The question is, does it linger? And he gets a couple of extra days on the back end of this game to let it heal. But remember the toe from a couple of years ago? It lingered, and then it blew up in Super Bowl 55, and that was that, and he got surgery 2 days later.
Right.
This wrist hopefully has a chance to heal and gets back to 100%, so it's not a nagging thing for him all year long that affects his ability to get the football down the field.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and it's his left wrist, too, so that's where you just go, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
He had to hand the ball off a little bit, like where you would hand it off with your left hand. He handed it backwards with his right hand there. It happened pretty early in the game. It did not seem to affect him. I mean, okay, because, I mean, he still made some of the damnedest freaking plays and throws that you will see. I mean, he is just magical. I mean, he really is. And you know, I know you – I saw it when you wrote your power rankings yesterday and all that, you know, and I know you've heard me say this. I just – they're a team on a mission. He's on a mission. He feels like he's been disrespected last year. You know, he, I think, is in a competitive, like, thing with Josh Allen. And I expect him to be hitting all cylinders go on Thursday night, because he's also hearing this Justin Herbert talk, too. You know, he's hearing people talk, oh, Justin Herbert's awesome, Justin Herbert, blah, blah, blah. You know, we heard Jason Garrett, you know, who I have much respect for, right? He said if he could take anybody first right now to build a team, it would be Justin Herbert. You know,
guy who's never been to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a bold statement, but I understand it. Herbert is... you know, that type of talent. I think he's on his way to Mahomes and Allenville there as far as that type of guy. So I'd still take Mahomes or Allen, but I just think that gives some context to how damn good, you know, he's viewed around the league.
And it also, it gives Mahomes just another little thing, the old Ryan from The Office gif of, you know, writing down the names on the list.
Yeah, right.
Just every little thing that you can do.
Right.
And you've got Josh Allen living up to the hype and the expectations, kind of embracing it and owning it. And you've got Mahomes motivated by the fact that the other guy is getting all the hype. And then some of the other hype is going to another guy.
Yeah.
It's two different mindsets. It's going to lead to the same result. Collision course between the Bills and the Chiefs. They'll play in the regular season, thank God. And they'll play in the postseason, hopefully.
I hope.
Hopefully that game doesn't get disrupted by, you know, some upstart team that knocks off the Bills or the Chiefs a week before their date with destiny in the AFC Championship game. Before we take a break, we are getting feedback in real time from U.S. viewers and U.K. viewers about what we will think of London.
What's going on
and
here?
Pauline, our good friend in the U.K., said, stop making excuses. Just move over here. We have plenty of hills and barns. Or you could buy a castle.
I love it.
So that's the pro UK
version.
Good. Our friend Mary in Atlanta, who sometimes dabbles in profanity.
Yes, I like Mary.
Says,
though. Yeah.
You'll want to leave London. It's crowded. The river stinks. The food is awful. The beer is warm. So we have two competing views, and we present them both because this is fair and balanced.
Right.
Equal time for both sides. But well, hey, I we'll go at some point, and we'll make our own assessment. And the thing, even if the folks in London may not agree with our assessment, they can count on it being an honest, candid, and authentic view of what we experience and not what we think they want to hear, which is why I think they listen.
Yeah, I think so, too, hopefully. That was very well put, though. I mean, yeah, it is weird that we're two guys that, you know, got a house that's on a hill and a barn and all that, like the English countryside. It's kind of funny when you think about that. You're in West Virginia. I'm in Connecticut, right outside of New York City. And for some reason, we live in the same style of house or have some similarities there. You have a castle on a hill.
You're the one that's got the... You've got the barnyard animals. Though.
Yes, I do.
I don't. And yeah. I'm the guy in West Virginia. I got one dog. You've got multiple dogs, multiple chickens, multiple African geese,
right.
Multiple horses. Are you building an ark somewhere that I don't know about?
No, I'm not.
Should I be paying attention to the long-term weather forecast?
You've seen the climate a little lately. You might need that damn boat here soon.
All right. Recent comments by Tom Brady and by Mrs. Brady might be giving us some clues as to whether this is indeed his final year in football. We'll discuss that when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.